Fuzzy TV.
It's showtime, folks. And it is. And I am Martin Zender. This is MZTV. Welcome to the show. Today, finally, I'm going to talk about, and you're going to listen in complete awe, about Paul delivering the man in Corinth up to Satan. Excuse me, I'm getting nervous about this. For the guy. For the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the day of Christ Jesus. A lot of the clues are right in the text, and we just haven't seen it. But there is a key passage that is going to, I believe, explain everything to you. Could I be wrong on my interpretation? No. So let's go. Let's read the passage. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Because you would have to ask yourself, how does this fit in? This is pretty severe. And it is. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is delivering someone up to Satan. What about this ignoring the flesh thing, Martin? That's the best way to deal with the flesh, to ignore the flesh. Well, in most cases, it is. And don't jump to conclusions. In most cases, it is. Okay, so I'm going to say, I want to spill all the beans right now, but I'm going to go step by step. And yes, it will happen in this show. I'm not going to drag this on for days. After this, I got one more video to make about belaboring, when Paul says, I belabor my body. And then I might do something that I hardly ever do, is just run a video I made last year or a couple years ago with an introduction. I think the name of the video is, Have I Ever Told Anyone to Sin? I think that'd be a nice capstone to this whole series, what has ended up being a series. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. We all know the story about this saint in Corinth, and he was a saint. Paul addressed all the Corinthians as saints. I want to remind you of that. Chapter 1, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, Paul, a called apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God, and Sosthenes, a brother to the ecclesia of God, which is in Corinth, hallowed in Christ Jesus, called saints. There you go. This guy's a member of the body of Christ. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have messed with him. What does Paul say? We judge those within. Or, let me put it this way, we take care of those within. So, start there. The foundation. This man is a saint. Chapter 5, verse 1. Absolutely, it is heard that there is prostitution among you, and such prostitution which is not even named among the nations, so that someone has his father's wife. And you are puffed up and mourn not, rather, that the one who commits this act may be taken away from your midst. Not thrown out completely, but taken away to cause this man to confront what he's done. This is a serious action, but it gets even more serious. For I indeed, being absent in body, yet present in spirit, have already, as if present, thus judged the one effecting this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For you being gathered, and my spirit, together with the power of our Lord Jesus, to give up such a one to Satan for the extermination of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. First of all, Paul is exercising here an apostolic gift. This was the same man who raised people from the dead, made a lame man walk. All sorts of miracles were effected when articles of his clothing were passed around. So this was the era where God is establishing Paul's credentials by giving him gifts and allowing him to do miracles. And in fact, at this time, there was also prophecy in the ecclesia and interpretations and the gifts of languages, gifts of healing. All that Paul explains in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13 was for expedience. it was for a time. But Paul said these things were to pass away. That's what he says. I'll talk about this in another show, why these gifts have gone away. Because the word has been made complete. We have all the revelation we need. There's no longer any need for prophecy or interpretation. And we're learning to walk in maturity, that is, by faith, not perception. And so Paul himself did not heal in the latter part of his ministry. His ministry went from glory to glory. And the greatest glory is not seeing things, not experiencing miracles, not delivering people up to Satan. As much as we would like to, we can't do it. We shouldn't do it. So don't try this at home, please. Don't try to deliver your mother up to Satan or your sister or your brother. Don't deliver your kids up to Satan, please. This gift has expired, and I think this was only exclusive to the Apostle Paul as the head honcho. For the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved. Now, how in the world would the Spirit of God need saved? That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. While I'm asking you how a spirit can be saved, think about when the day of the Lord Jesus is, because that's a clue here. Well, the spirit doesn't need saved. The spirit is the power of God, the animating force of God. Did I say power of God? I did. And so this is figurative. What Paul is referring to here is the dais of Christ. And this also ties in with the last part of that, that a spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What is the day of the Lord Jesus that the body of Christ is looking forward to? It is the coming of Christ for us, the snatching away of the body of Christ. And what happens right after the snatching away of the body of Christ? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For all of us must be manifested in front of the dais of Christ, that each should be requited. This is not judgment. Paul is exercising a judgment, but at the dais of Christ, it's not a judgment because we don't come into God's judgment. It is being paid good for the things you've done well, and the bad things are just taken away. We're already saved at this point. When we're in front of the dais of Christ, we are already saved. We already have the full mind of Christ. We're already immortal. And so this is just an adjustment, not a judgment. Otherwise, Paul would say that each should be judged for that which he puts into practice through the body, whether good or bad. No, this is a requital. That is, it is really rewards given out, handed out for acts of the Spirit. We've been reading in Romans and other places where a spirit occupation with the Spirit will produce spiritual fruit. And so the things that we have produced in the Spirit will be paid. And the things that weren't so hot will simply be taken away. In another place, 1 Corinthians 3:15, why don't I go there? If anyone's work shall be burnt up, this is also at the dais of Christ. Let's start with verse 12. If anyone is building on this foundation, that is the foundation of Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, grass, straw, each one's work will become apparent for the day. What day? The day of the Lord, Paul is referencing here. The day will make it evident, for it is being revealed by fire. In the fire, it will be testing each one's work, what kind it is. Okay, the wood, grass, and straw, the silver and precious stones and gold, those are all figurative. And so the fire is also figurative. If anyone's work will be remaining, which he builds on it, he will get wages. There you go, that's what I said. Whatever work you do, whatever was inspired by the Spirit, you'll get wages for that. If anyone's work shall be burned up, he'll forfeit it. You notice no punishment. It's just like those who do not receive the enjoyment of the allotment of the kingdom. It's just a forfeiture. It's not a punishment per se. It's not meting out pain. It's just that, well, okay, you're going over here to this glorious place, and you're going over here to this uber glorious place, but everybody's saved. And Paul says that, If anyone's work shall be burned up, he will forfeit it, yet he shall be saved. So, yet as through fire. This is not literal fire, as through fire. It's just a work of God. It's the work of God. It's going to be lovely. We're going to enjoy. It's going to be a relief. Whatever things are a burden to us in this life, the fire of God is going to burn it up. It's not literal fire. It's just going to go poof, disappear. It's going to be fantastic. You're going to love that just as much as the rewards that you get. It's going to be great. It's going to be a double whammy of pleasure. You're going to get rewards for the things done in the spirit, and those things which were done in the flesh that God doesn't judge you for and that don't stand in the way of your salvation in the least, those things are going to just disappear in a figurative cloud of smoke. And it'll be like, oh, finally, oh, that feels good. Okay, that's what that is. So Paul is looking for the salvation of the Spirit. My interpretation of that is the things of the Spirit that will remain. Paul is looking for this man to receive as much good, as many wages at the great white throne. That's for the unbelievers much later. At the dais of Christ for this guy. For this guy. He doesn't want this guy to have his works burned. Paul doesn't want anybody to have their works burned. But apparently, well, not apparently, this was one of the things that not only would be burned up at the dais of Christ, but prostitution and adultery are listed as things that will cause one to not enjoy an allotment. So, and again, allotment is a place of ruling and reigning. We can go there just to review. That's, of course, in Galatians chapter 5. We've been there many times, but let's go back there because it is important. Galatians 5, now apparent are the works of the flesh, which are adultery, prostitution. There you go, the first two. There's others, but those are the only two I want to mention now because they apply to our friend here in Corinth. Idolatry, enchantment, I just said I wasn't going to read those. Which I am predicting to you, according as I predicted also, that those committing such things shall not be enjoying the allotment of the kingdom of God. Now the fruit of the Spirit, here we go. See, it says flesh versus spirit, flesh versus spirit. Now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. So we have the things of the flesh and the things of the Spirit. We know how we deal with the things of the flesh. We deaden them. We don't give them any thought. We figuratively crucify them. That is, we starve them of what they need to survive and to keep bothering us, which is our attention. So now when we go back to 1 Corinthians 5, now that we have a greater context, I've decided to give up such a one to Satan for the extermination of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You say, but Martin, that's just what God's going to do at the dais of Christ. God said that he was going to destroy the things of the flesh, that those things that were done in the flesh will be burned up. If anyone's work is wood, hay, and stubble, they're going to be burned up like wood, hay, and stubble would be burned up in a literal fire. And so that's what God's going to do. And that the Spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Those things that were done in the Spirit, those are the golden works, the silver works, the precious stone works that will remain. So God's going to do that. Paul, why are you preempting God and doing it now? That is a great question, Paul. Why are you preempting God and doing it for this man now? Okay. One more thing, and then the puzzle piece is going to make it all come together. You don't have it. I haven't given it to you yet. So if you haven't figured it out yet, that's okay, because the last puzzle piece I've not brought to you yet. So Paul is going to exercise his apostolic authority against the flesh for the destruction of this man's flesh. What is that? Well, let me give you a partial list. This is only a partial list of physical judgments that God executed in the scriptures. In Genesis 20:10, God kept all the women in Abimelech's house from conceiving because of Sarah. Abraham brought Sarah in, and they treated her badly at the house of Abimelech, and so God basically brought a judgment against all the women in Abimelech's house. This is Genesis 20:10, and he kept them from conceiving. So God did something to screw up their sex organs. Numbers 12:10, Miriam, Moses' sister, questioned the leadership of Moses, and she became leprous. Yeah, Moses' own sister. Hard to believe. The one who put him in the basket eventually questioned the leadership of her own brother. She became leprous, a physical strike. God doesn't do this anymore. And Paul had a leftover of this. This is almost like the last manifestation of it in this era of grace. 1 Samuel 5, verses 6, 9, and 12. This is against the Philistines for possessing the Ark of the Covenant. They stole it. Specifically, the people of Ashdod and Ekron. God afflicted the men of the city, those two cities, basically, Ashdod and Ekron, with tumors. Also, David's wife, Michal, was unable to bear children. God screwed up her reproductive organs because she judged her husband for dancing in front of the common people, making himself look like a common man himself. Michal, she didn't like that. So she criticized David, but I always said, you don't F with God's chosen ones. And she was cursed. She couldn't bear children after that. God's good at that. God's good at screwing up your sex organs. Back in the Old Testament. Apparently, pretty good at tumors, too. But that was a different day. That was then. This is now. But Paul exercised such a judgment against this man. I think Paul wanted to get rid of this man's habit of shagging his stepmother, because apparently this was a chronic thing, and maybe the guy was resistant to help. Maybe the ecclesia made half-hearted attempts to bring him around. Paul was obviously upset with them that they're not mourning, that they're not acting, taking this seriously. So Paul, like, says, step aside, all you ineffective people who don't really care about this guy. You don't really care about this guy. I'm going to take care of this now. And I believe that this stroke against the man's flesh delivered him from the sin. Because after this, he couldn't do it anymore, even if he wanted to. I know scripture doesn't say that. I'm reading between the lines. But it's not too hard to read between the lines. Being absent in body, present in spirit, have already, as if present, thus judged the one affecting this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give up such a one to Satan for the extermination of the flesh. This man's sexual organs were exterminated, or else he got a serious venereal disease. Something happened where he couldn't even do it anymore if he wanted to. That sounds terrible. Why would a nice guy like Paul do that? Here's the kicker. It all makes sense after this. This is the revelation. Romans 13, starting with verse 8. To no one owe anything except to be loving one another. For he who is loving another has fulfilled law. Verse 9, for this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not testify falsely, you shall not covet. And if there is any other precept, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your associate as yourself. Love is not working evil to an associate. This man was Paul's associate. But this serious thing, this judgment of the flesh, this extermination of the flesh, I swear to you, was being done in love. We find out in 2 Corinthians that the man is restored to fellowship. He's whole. He's good. His dick didn't work anymore, but other than that, he was good. Verse 11, this also do, being aware of the era, that it is already the hour for us to be roused out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night progresses, yet the day is near. What day? The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord Jesus Christ. The day of the snatching away. The day of the presentation at the dais of Christ. The day is near. We then, should be putting off the acts of darkness, yet should be putting on the implements of light. As in the day, respectably, should we be walking not in revelries and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and be making no provision for the lust of the flesh. This all fits in with what we've been saying about put on this, to put off that. It's a mental apprehension. You don't literally put something on like a long sleeve thing. No, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You put off these other things. Did you hear what I read here, though? Be aware of the era, that it is already the hour for us to be roused out of sleep, out of sleep. The Corinthians were sleeping. This guy was sleeping. I believe from this passage and from other passages as well that Paul expected the snatching away to take place in his day. He was as sure of it in his day as we are of it in our day. What else do you get from this? The night progresses. The day is near. It is already the hour for us to be roused out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Well, Paul, it's 2,000 years nearer now. You should be where we are. And Paul would be shocked to be delivered to the year 2024 and to be made to understand that the snatching away has not happened yet. And he would have said, man, duh, because it's going to happen any minute. I can't believe it. 2,000 years? Okay, the point is, Paul did this as an act of love. Paul was anticipating the snatching away. And this man in particular was irritating the hell out of him, but also near and dear to him. And he did not want this guy to be presented to the dais of Christ tomorrow or that night and to have this sick sin that apparently nobody in the nations even does. I don't know what. This was somehow so bad. We don't know all the wrinkles here, but this was a really bad thing. And Paul knew that it was going to go rough for this guy at the dais of Christ that night. You see, Paul thinks the snatching away is that close. And so you might ask, well, why doesn't Paul just go the regular course? Like, just tell the guy what you told the Romans. You know, crucify the flesh, deaden your members, let it work. Be just tell this guy to occupy himself with the Spirit, you know, and do it that way. Well, that's the slow method. I told you yesterday that sometimes that method doesn't happen. It doesn't eliminate your flesh that moment. It takes some time to change your apprehension, to think of the things above, and to deaden those members that are on the earth. It's a habit we have to want to work on our flesh, work on our flesh. So Paul, yes, very well could have told this guy what he told the Romans in chapter 6, 7, 8. In Galatians, even, you know, crucify the flesh with its passions and lusts. But Paul has the power to do an emergency surgery to save this guy's life on the eve of the snatching away. Paul says, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I mean, to me, this is akin to a resurrection. Paul has the power to keep this guy from appearing before the dais of Christ with this sin to his account. You see, this sin would have been on his record. And Paul says, okay, I have the power to do a really good thing for this guy. And that's what this is. I'm going to do a good thing for this guy. We're not going to wait. We're not going to take the slow road here, folks. Okay, we're not going to take the slow road. We're not going to wait for this guy to slowly end the growth of God. That's fine. And that's the normal course. That these things slowly disappear, deaden then your members. This is not deaden your members. This is an assassination of the flesh by divine strike, by a supernatural miracle. This is a freaking miracle. Paul is performing a miracle for this guy's sake to stop him from doing this shit. And the only way to do it, I guess, was to blow up his dick or to give him some kind of VD, to give him some kind of sexually transmitted disease to stop it. And the minute this guy stops it, not to mention being shunned by the ecclesia until he got his act together, boom. Paul put this guy in the fast lane. Because again, he thinks the snatching away is soon, and he doesn't want this guy, a beloved member of the ecclesia, to stand before Christ with this thing on his head and to see this be burned up. The guy's still going to be saved. Obviously, I've been telling you that from the beginning. This guy's saved. This guy's saved. This guy's saved. Of course he's saved. But the things of the flesh are going to be destroyed. Paul says, I shouldn't do this. I probably shouldn't do it. I don't like to use my power, but I'm going to do it for this guy. Okay, this guy. Because apparently these other people haven't been doing it. They could have been doing this for weeks, for months. They could have been taking the slow route, you know, dead in your members, you know, set your affection on things above. If they had started on that course 3 months earlier, 4 months earlier, then this guy wouldn't have been in this condition where we're right up against the snatching away. Paul says, okay, I can do something about it. I'm going to exercise my gift and I'm going to take care of business. Boom. This guy is delivered from it. And now this guy appears at the dais of Christ, rid of this. And his spirit is saved. You see, there are more things now in the guy's account. There are more things in the spirit column than in the flesh column, because he was delivered from this before the freaking snatching away. And in this, Paul has done a great favor for this guy in exercising his power. It was 911 emergency power. And it was done for this man. Because love is not working evil to an associate. Paul's own words, Romans 13:10. Thus also do, being aware of the era, that it is already the hour for us to be roused out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe.